see guys like me, see guys like you that are doing better with our PTS, with our struggles, just take hope in that, that you can do better, you can be better.
Hey everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks. We talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Today, we are in LifeWord Studios in Conway, Arkansas, broadcasting in over 170 languages to 127 countries to a listening audience of 2 billion people. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. I have a very special guest with me, and you may remember him from last year, about the same time, one of my great friends, Paul Tucker. Paul, it's good to have you with us here today.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, so June is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. It's also PTSD Awareness Month. And I know last year we talked about PTSD and the struggles that you've had with that. But in the interim, you have attended a program called Mighty Oaks. Yes. So tell us a little bit about what Mighty Oaks is.
So Mighty Oaks is a faith-based PTS program. Mm-hmm. So they take away the D out of PTSD, trying to get the disorder out of it, because it can be, you know, it can get better. It doesn't have to be a pitfall. Mm-hmm. So it's a 5-day program. The Legacy program is a 5-day program. They hold them all over the country. I went to one down in Texas. Mm-hmm. We actually know quite a few people that have been to it. You know, Rob, mm-hmm. Ryan, Mark, have all been to it now. Mm-hmm. It's really, really great foundation. Nonprofit organization. Not only are they doing it for veterans and first responders, but they also have a program now for women, mm-hmm. a lot of times with spouses and stuff, mm-hmm. and also for our allies from Afghanistan. So one of their other foundations helped bring back a lot of the interpreters and everything that helped us over in Afghanistan, and now they actually have a program for those individuals that may be struggling with those same symptoms.
Yeah. It's interesting that you said they've opened it up to women, mainly, you know, wives of veterans. And I was looking at the statistics, and actually more women are being diagnosed with PTSD than men. But I think it's because most men don't seek help. You know, they're not, and if they're not seeking help, they can't have a diagnosis. And so I think those statistics are a little skewed. Of course, we know PTSD originally was called shell shock. I mean, there wasn't a diagnosis for it. But, you know, as it has evolved and developed, there are actually 2 types of PTSD. There's contact and non-contact. And we've talked about that before. So going to Mighty Oaks, what would you say was the biggest thing that helped you in that program?
So backing up a little bit, when I first found out about it, I think I talked about it last year, but Chad Robichaux is here. You know, some of our friends had him out to speak and then do a seminar, and one of the profound things that they say is, if what you're doing isn't working, why not try something else?
Right.
Like, it sounds simple, but if you really look at it, like, okay, if I'm struggling with this, why not try something else?
Right.
But as far as the biggest thing I think I gathered from it was just intentionality mm-hmm. about what I'm doing. Intentionally being in the Word more, intentionally guarding my eyes and ears more. Mm-hmm. So all the things I was doing, but just being a little more focused on it mm-hmm. Intentionally.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about any mental health condition is structure. Mm-hmm. You know, that if we let our mind wander, you know, we do these things. We have to have that structure. And being intentional, it kind of falls in that same category of structure. But sometimes we intentionally don't have structure, which then causes more anxiety. But some trigger of PTSD can be structure, because especially if it's military or combat related, because there's so much structure in the military that, you know, you do this at this time, this at that time. And so how do you feel about, I mean, have you ever had a problem with structure within triggers of PTSD?
No, I don't think any of the structures per se. It's always been situations, noises, mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Yeah,
that usually have been my triggers. Mm-hmm. For those.
Yeah, and I don't think that people who have never suffered from it can ever truly understand what it really is. You know, I explain it like you're in a 5D full immersion theater and you're replaying that whatever took place. So you said about being intentional in the word, being intentional in prayer and relationships and protecting your heart, guarding your heart. How do we do that when we are in the midst of the PTSD is so out of hand and so out of control?
It's simple, but it's also very difficult, right? Like it's just, like I said, just being intentional about it. And I think that a lot of that just comes down to starting, changing your habits every single day, right? So for me, I work out and everything. So I've had to adjust my schedule a little bit. So instead of getting up and jumping and going straight to the gym, I get up and go to my Bible. So that's part of my deliberate intentionality of changing something so that I can get into that. And a lot of the other stuff I already do pretty well with as far as like guarding my eyes and heart and my ears and everything. But then just making sure in the fellowship, being a little more intentional about that, trying to be a little bit better about staying strict and going to church instead of just, you know, listening to a sermon and whatnot. But in those moments, it's not that easy, but I think that's where fellowship or having a brother, you know, band of brothers, wingmen, whatever, you know, there's different things, cornermen, we call it, in Mighty Oaks, having those people that we can really lean back into, like, hey, man, I'm struggling. Which isn't an easy thing for men. It's definitely not easy for veterans and first responders to do that either.
But it does seem like it's easier when you do have those men in your corner, you know, that you know you can trust and they're going to take it to the grave. And sometimes, as I have noticed, is that they notice you're struggling sometimes before you notice that you're struggling. So how important are those relationships?
It's so important. You know, you think if you think of, I'll try and break this down, kind of like security. If you have a building you're trying to secure, you have 4 points of security. If one of those points of security goes down, everything else can collapse. The enemy can really get in. So having those people that you can rely on that can see when you might be struggling, not only see that you're struggling, but have the gall to call you out. Like, hey, bro, you're slipping. Hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Hey, how can I help you here? Having those guys that are really out of love will call you out.
You know, with the men's group I'm a part of, it seems like sometimes I've become more the dad figure, you know, and so like a couple of weeks ago, I was like, hey guys, you know, just pause for a minute and hear me out, because like people are showing up to the meeting, but they're just coming to the meeting and it's over. You know, there is no communication throughout the other 3.5 weeks. You know, you're not active on the group me. And what I have found is that people who pull away and aren't involved, but only involved in the once a month meeting, typically are the ones who are struggling the most. But they, sometimes they don't even know it. They don't realize it, or they leave the group because they don't want to be, they don't want it to be known that they're struggling. And so when, how do we look at people and know when they are trying to, you know, pulling away from what you may see as normal behavior within a group setting?
Yeah, I think it's just those simple things, right? As men, we don't communicate well, but like you said, in the group me and in your group chats and everything, you can kind of start, you can start to see where they're not being as intentional. They're not reaching out as much, you know, where last week they were talking constantly. So just picking up on those little things. And it's tough, you know, especially as your groups grow, it's tougher to sometimes, you know, is like if you were in that father figure for me with like my men's alliance, I'm the tribe leader. So for me to follow up with 60 dudes, 20 to 60 dudes consistently, it's just not feasible. So it's definitely it's a task, but just being able to recognize it and just be like, I try to be better about it. I mean, halftime I text you lately, it's like, you just pop in my head. So I'll reach out like, hey brother, how you doing? And I'm trying to be better about that. I still can do better, but I just, if I'm thinking about somebody, I try to just reach out. Sometimes, you know, that's the Holy Spirit saying, reach out to your boy.
It's always important to, when somebody pops in your mind that you contact them, because you don't know what they may be dealing with in that moment. You don't know what may be going on. As often as you text me, though, it's like, new phone, who's this? You know, who's this guy?
Yeah.
So you mentioned Men's Alliance that you started. So tell us a little bit about that.
So last, I guess it was October, this past October, I went down to Men's Ignite weekend down in Dallas. Chad Robichaux again, Mighty Oaks there, and so is Tim Tebow. Some of my two favorite men that walk this earth. Men's Alliance, it was started in Virginia. It's a mostly national organization, nonprofit, but they're also in two other countries. So there's over 248 tribes as of today across three countries, mostly, again, in the U.S. But it's kind of like we were talking about. Instead of having that monthly group, it's a weekly group. So every week we get together. We do a rugged workout around a fire, outdoors, unless there's lightning. We do a 30-minute workout followed by a devotion. And then men can earn things like call signs, challenge coins, and they can actually get patched in to Men's Alliance.
Gotcha. Yeah, you mentioned y'all work out unless it's lightning. I remember Sergeant Nedley at basic law enforcement training, he'd say, if it ain't raining, it ain't training.
It's not raining, we're training.
So we got to make sure we get out there. So, you know, I think I'm just going to ask you this question because you obviously look at me and know I don't work out. But there is a level of, I don't know if intimacy is the right word, but a level of relationship that bonds men together when they are exercising.
Yes.
Why is that?
I think thinking about it, like thinking of law enforcement training or being in the trenches, whatever scenario you want to think about, right? Think about that war movie. Some of the strongest bonds are when they're in their trenches. And I think that's what it is. There's something about the physical aspect of just, you know, embracing the suck with you know, fellow men that just, like you said, it just opens you up for that intimacy to then allow the Holy Spirit to kind of come in and just really get it to these guys. It's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, I can only speak for myself, but in that situation, I would feel vulnerable, you know, physically vulnerable. And maybe it is that when we feel physically vulnerable, it's easier to feel spiritually or emotionally vulnerable to where we really open up of, you know, if we're having a devotion after you've worked out and you know, you aren't even able to bench the bar, you're not going to sit there and talk about how smart you are because you're going to feel like, you know, that you are vulnerable physically. And I think a lot of times that's a good mechanism for people to sit down and be quiet to listen because they're in this vulnerable state, physical, and that folds over into the emotional. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not only, it's humbling, right? Like you're saying, like if you can't do something, because we make them hard. I've had to kind of readjust how I market it because I think some of the guys see the videos that I put out there and they see guys like me, a couple of other really fit guys that are in there, but there's
Did you just say you're a really fit guy?
Well, to some.
Okay. I was just making sure.
Yeah. Like there's like we try and promote it as any fitness, any faith level, right? Because we have guys that show up that I've had them straight up tell me like, I am not a Christian. Okay. Stand by.
Yeah.
It's coming. You know, guys that haven't worked out in years, whatever their case is. But like you said, there's something about just getting down in there. Because like I said, we make it hard. There's days where I get out there, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like I work out, you know, a couple of days of the week, and it's kind of my rest day. But getting out there with other guys, like-minded guys, just struggling through it. You know, we get muddy out there some days. You know, it's. But when you do it together, it breaks down that wall to allow you to be vulnerable.
Yeah, some people might call that trauma bonding.
Yeah,
you know that you're physically trauma bonding together. And I would assume, because I've not been here when you've done this, but I assume that there is a lot of encouragement to complete the task, whether they feel like they can or not, that it's not a thing of, well, you should be able to do this, but you can do this, keep going, keep trying, keep building.
Yeah, so the first rule of Men's Alliance is don't die. So, like that, you know, that's we say it loud and proud, you know. I'm like, we get started, I'm like, hey, what's the first rule? We all yell it. Because that's all it is. We're not there to see who can bench the most. We don't even have a bench out there. You know, we're not out there to see who can do the most burpees. It's like man, there's just something about trauma bonding and then getting into a devotion that it's different.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah, I've you know, with Ryan Stevens, some of the, I think they call it Mindset Minute, that he does. He's out there wheezing for breath, trying to give these mindset minutes, but it also shows of how important that it is, a part of what you're doing, that you're still able to have that community, to have this devotion time together. It's one thing to have a group of friends, but it's another thing to have a group of friends that care enough about you physically, mentally, and spiritually that they will exhaust their bodies but still feed the spirit man. So when you do devotions, is there like some type of thing that you're really trying to hit on, or is it just... Is there a guidebook that they give you, or how does that work?
Yeah, so each week, somebody can sign up to start the fire, lead the workout, or lead the devotion. So it's somebody different most weeks. And for the devotion, we try and keep it. There's a little bit of guidelines. We try and keep it to a certain time, about 15 minutes, to allow discussion to come about. So we kind of leave, you know. Say something, whatever's on your heart, really, that's kind of where you want to be. And so if I'm saying, you know, I speak my word, I might have scripture to back it. We don't want people to sit there and read from their phones or read from the Bible, per se. You know, if you have to look at a scripture, that's one thing. But just to really let it be more in the moment instead of like a traditional Bible study. Because there's something about that, too, where, again, you're out by a fire, you just got done working out, you're all sweating. That just helps with that whole bonding process. But then just kind of letting it breathe, allowing guys to sit in that silence and open up. Kind of, you know, similar type stuff we did, like a Man Alive. You know, you just kind of just let it breathe and let the guys get out what they got to get out.
Yeah. You know, I think that we are guilty of being in these moments and then walking away from them and not setting in what we've just experienced. You know, I kind of explain it this way, is if I were to call you, let's say 3 or 4 times a day, but when I got done talking, I just hung up without you saying anything, then what's the point of me calling you? Yeah. But that's exactly what we do to God when we pray. You know, we make our petition known and we hang up the phone. And I think it's that we live in a society that we are taught that we don't have to listen. You know, we have our own agenda, we do. But the Father desires that relational part of that intimacy. Yeah. So how do we as Christians who have spent all of our lives just praying and reading, how do we be quiet and be still?
I don't know. I'm still working on myself. it is can be tough, but I think, again, having some structure. Like with Men's Alliance, we have that structure where, like, hey, you know, sometimes I got to tell some of the guys that are a little more, have been around a little bit longer, just like, hey, you know, kick them in the shin, like, to be quiet. But again, that's part of that being loving and trying to get, you know, you have to just tell guys, like, hey, just listen.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there are, at least it seems for me, there are people who, while they're not leading, they try to take over and lead. And that can be very difficult in a men's group, particularly. I've not ever been a part of a ladies group, so I don't know how that works, but it does seem like, but in those moments, sometimes it's not about them wanting to speak. It's about them needing to be heard. Yeah. And so there has to be room for that as well. So one of my biggest issues, you know, moving to North Little Rock, pastoring a church, you know, I was there for 7-8 years on my own. You know, one of the hardest things for pastors to do is build community, because you do have to protect your heart. I posted this graphic this week. You may have seen it. It said the average person loses 5 to 7 relationships in a lifetime, while the pastor, average pastor, loses 5 to 7 close relationships in a year. And so how do not necessarily meet people who are ministers of the gospel, how do we find the people that we know that we can trust?
Well, for instance, how we met, Man Alive, I think stuff like that is great. Things like Mighty Oaks, awesome. Mm-hmm. Things like Men's Ignite, mm-hmm. those are all awesome things. But you can't, what I've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed too, having been repeat, I almost said offender, as being a repeat guest mm-hmm. of things like Man Alive, where there's guys that go to it and that's all they do. Mm-hmm. That's their church. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the Christians that go to church on Sunday and that's it. Mm-hmm. Then you've got guys that go to things like Man Alive and that's
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah. You can't stunt yourself. You have to keep growing.
Yeah.
You have to be in the Word and you have to keep seeking these relationships.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I really love about Men's Alliance, because same thing, Mighty Oaks, awesome. Man Alive, awesome. Love it. But you get that fire, you have that passion, mm-hmm. and then Monday comes around.
Yeah.
By Thursday, you kind of lost it.
Yeah.
But with like stuff like Men's Alliance, you got somewhere to be every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And if you're not there, you're going to have somebody like me, hey, where you at?
Yeah.
I keep joking that I'm going to start a recovery team. And if mm-hmm. you don't show up after like twice, we're just coming and ripping you out.
Yeah. 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 You know, my first year at Men Alive was transformative. But I left there still alone. Yeah. I mean, you weren't there the first year I went.
Yeah.
Were you there the first year?
Yep.
Yeah. So, but there really wasn't that connection, you know, after that as much as there is now. But maybe it was just that I still didn't realize how important that it was. And you know, we as men we've been raised to think that we can do it on our own, you know, that we just pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and we keep going. But I don't think the Father ever intended for us to do it alone. And so somewhere down the lines, we began to believe the lie that we had to. What was it like for you getting out of the military? You know, I'm sure you probably went through the process where you feel like you lost your purpose. Yeah. What was it like for you to find that purpose again?
Man, that's such a great question, because this is something I talk about it pretty often, because as a veteran, I have my veteran hat. Right? Mm-hmm. As law enforcement, I have my law enforcement hat, right? Mm-hmm. But that's something I earned. That's a title I have, but that's not who I am.
Yeah,
and that takes a long time to let go of, mm-hmm. especially for veterans, mm-hmm. right? Because for whatever reason, you get out of the military, whether you know you're forced out, you know, medical reasons. You're just done with it, whatever the case is. Mm. Once you get out, like, you don't, that could have been your identity for the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Now it's like, who am I now? Mm. Okay, now put this veteran hat on. I'm this veteran. I have to be, I still have to be this alcoholic, this jerk, this, you know, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to be that.
Yeah.
So finding stuff like what we've been, again, Man Alive, I love these things, all these programs that I've been to. Finding those things, if I'd have found that 10 years ago, I'd be so much further along now.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so passionate about getting these programs out there, because I see it. You go to the VA right now, and I'm telling you, you got the guys wearing all the hats. Nothing wrong with the hats. I get it, but they're holding on to that identity.
Yeah.
That's not who you are. That's a title you've earned. That's amazing. Thank you. Thank God for you, what you did for this country. But that's not who you are.
Yeah.
You have a bigger purpose.
Sure.
Like what Mighty Oak says, if you're struggling with these things, like, oh, I'm a veteran, I'm feeling these ways, if what you're doing isn't working, why not try something else?
Yeah. You know, one thing in mental health, when it comes to trauma that was caused by you, you know, whether it was a divorce or, you know, whatever the case, maybe you went to jail, alcoholism, whatever it is. One thing that we find ourselves saying a lot is, what you have done is not who you are. But I think it would apply in the same way what you have done, veteran law enforcement, is not who you are, but so many people put stock in that is their personality, that when they no longer have that, then they've lost all purpose. So how do we, and I know this hard, specifically for law enforcement, as I was in law enforcement, how do we not let that become our full identity?
Still trying to figure that out. And again, man, I think it's just a culmination of all these things. You have to have those people that are going to call you out. Mm. You know, I didn't have that. If I had this 10 years ago, I'd be doing great right now.
Yeah.
I'm doing better than I was 10 years ago, but yeah. Just thinking about how much further along I would be. Mm. You have to have people that are going to call you out. Yeah. Thank you for your service. Thank you for that hat that you can wear, but that's not who you are.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm a God-fearing Christian. That's who I am. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to portray. I'm wearing this Mighty Oak stuff, and like mm-hmm. that's about as far as I go is promoting things outside of being a Christian. Mm-hmm. And these are both Christian companies, right?
Yeah.
I don't wear the veteran hats and stuff anymore. Again, nothing wrong with that, but I don't want to. That's not how I want to be portrayed. That's not mm-hmm. how I can be a disciple.
Yeah,
is by showing those things.
Sure. Yeah. You know, the whole issue falls into purpose and who we are. One question that they ask at Man Alive, and the first time that I heard this question, I thought I had a really good answer. And the question is, what is the truest thing about you? And I thought, well, I guess the truest thing about me is that I'm a man. Like, there's nothing that's going to change that. Regardless of what society says today, there's nothing that's going to change that. I'm a dad. There's nothing that's going to change that. I'm a husband. I'm not going to change that. I mean, that can change, but I will always have been a husband. And then was blown away when those aren't the truest things about you. The truest thing about you is that you are a beloved son of God. And I think that we skip over that. You know, it's almost, I knew that, but we don't put stock in how much that means. And so if we could get away from, I'm a veteran, or I'm a pastor, or I'm law enforcement, or I'm a school teacher, whatever that may be, and get back down to the root of I'm a beloved son or daughter of God, that everything could change. So when do we come to that stark reality? Hopefully not in the deepest of darks of depression, but how do we change the mindset of those around us?
I think it's just, I know for me, doing stuff like this, I pray for the boldness every day to just to have that wisdom and to just go up to somebody and be like, hey, do you know Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not there yet, but through my actions, right, mm-hmm. You're not going to see me at the club. You're not going to see me listening to certain type of music, watching certain type of things.
Yeah.
Just by planting the seeds by my actions mm-hmm. is one way. That's how I'm trying to do that, just trying to help others doing things like this, trying to just spread the gospel through my actions mm-hmm. Just to show, because, you know, if you talk to people that knew me 10, 15 years ago, like, I'm not the same
mm-hmm.
guy.
Yeah.
Just things like that.
Yeah. You know, we, for summer, we're doing a summer lunch program at the church, and we serve 31 lunches Wednesday to kids there in our community. And, you know, I was talking to another youth pastor, and he said, well, did you have the occasion to give them a track or tell them about Jesus? And I said, no, my goal here is not to tell them about Jesus, but to show them who Jesus is. And that's how we attract people for Christ, is for them to see us living as Christ lives. And there is a time and place where the Holy Spirit gives us that discernment to introduce them to who Christ is. But the question was raised this, and I think that you can answer this question. They said, what do we do if nobody comes? And my answer was, then we go to them. And I think that there are men that we need to go rescue, that they don't realize the need of having relations and relations. So how do we go get them? Now, don't give me the military answer that we bust through their doors and we kidnap them, but how do we reach them? How do we convince them that they need community?
It's funny you say that because I joke about it. I'm like, you know, I want to bring them down to the river to baptize them, but sometimes I just want to dunk their head, you know?
Yeah.
just because they're not listening. But I think it really is just by just loving on them, by doing the things that we're doing, right? Go find them. Like there's guys that I have that, like, I can see they're not showing up, so I reach out to them. Some of them reach back, you know, because they want it, but others not so much. But it's just, again, part of being intentional, intentionally reaching out to these guys. If they're on my mind, I reach out to them, because that's also planting or watering the seed.
Yeah,
right? Just doing things like that, because we're all stubborn. We're stubborn men.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would grab you by a scruff 10 years ago, but you know, I can't do that either. So.
Yeah, and I think the thing is once they realize and they get how important it is, they don't miss. You know, they're there every time. I know when I have to, like, I'm going to be on vacation, so I'm going to miss my men's group meeting this month, and I'm like, y'all couldn't have scheduled it around when I was going to be gone, right? You know, you couldn't have. And but then there are other people who are like, oh yeah, I'm going to miss this month, and it'd be something silly, you know. And I'm at the point where they just don't get it yet. You know, they don't understand that this is a lifeline that they need. You know, that we send up the flag and say, hey, I need help, and people come running. So if we were talking to an audience today of a man who may have PTSD, may have depression, may have anxiety or panic, what would your message to them be?
So one thing I realized going to Mighty Oaks, I'll try and wrap this up, listening to over 20 testimonies that week, I would be bold enough to say that I would say 50 to 75% of our stories are very similar, from childhood trauma, relationships, you know, sins, all these things are very similar. So with that in mind, like, you see guys like me, see guys like you that are doing better with our PTS, with our struggles, just take hope in that, that you can do better. You can be better.
Yeah.
You can get better. But you have to want to get better. You have to look in the mirror first.
Yeah.
That's something that took me a while to go. It's like, all right, you know what? I need to look in the mirror. Who's the one holding me back?
Yeah.
Generally, it's you.
Yeah.
So realizing that and then taking little intentional steps. I think I talked about it last time. Just little steps, right? You don't have to go run a marathon tomorrow, but start walking.
Yeah.
Right? Change what you listen to. Change what you watch. Pick up the word. Find you somebody. Find you a battle buddy, a wingman, a corner man. Yeah. Right? We have all these different, your band of brothers. Find those things.
Yeah.
And then just take a bold leap and try something new.
Yeah.
Look at Mighty Oaks. Look at Men's Alliance. Find a local group of guys. Something you can do, and just give it a shot.
Yeah, you know, you were saying that, and I was thinking about this app, and it's Couch to 5K in 30 days.
Okay,
and it's very vigorous training, but it's written for people who literally are couch potatoes to be able to do a 5K in 30 days. I wonder if we need an app for men that depressed, overwhelmed, to walking in freedom in 30 days. It's an idea.
It is an idea.
We'll patent that together. Yeah, Paul, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate it. And where can they find more information about Men's Alliance or Mighty Oaks?
Yeah, so Men's Alliance is mensalliance.com, and then mightyoaksfoundation.org.
All right. Of course, I'm Dr. Brian. You can find me at the.brian.com. You can find all of our Christian content here at lifeword.org. Thank you so much for being here with us today, and we hope to see you again soon. Goodbye.